The emperor Marcus Aurelius Antoninus Bassianus, more famously known by the name Caracalla, was born in Lugdunum, now Lyon in France, in AD 186, the son of Septimius Severus and Julia Domna. He reigned from AD 211 to 217, and died at the hands of a soldier in 216, a year before the inauguration of the great baths named after him. Completed in 235, the baths were supplied with water by a newly constructed branch of the Aqua Marcia, called the Aqua Nova Antoniniana. They continued to be used until AD 537, when the Goths of Vitiges, during their siege of Rome, cut the aqueducts carrying the city's water supply, after which they fell into disuse. To fully understand the strength and original character of this site, it is sufficient to mention the quantity and quality of the artworks that adorned it, from the colossal Farnese Hercules and Bull, now in the Archaeological Museum of Naples, to the huge mosaic with athletes in the Vatican Museums. This magnificent building, with its beautiful and refined ornamentation, was enjoyed by the ancient Romans, not just a place for taking care of the body, but also as a venue for socializing and leisure. For a small entrance fee, visitors could exercise and take care of their personal hygiene, but also read and study in the libraries, or simply promenade in the gardens, meet people, and have a bite to eat in the refreshment areas. The main bathing complex was surrounded by an enclosure, part of which was porticoed, of which only the outer wall remains, and was designed to ensure that visitors could easily enter, move around inside, and then leave. The front of the complex was located on the Via Nova, built specifically to provide access to the baths, with a monumental entrance flanked by a row of taberne, shops and refreshment points, with stairs leading from the road to the gardens above. Another two monumental ramps on the opposite side served visitors arriving from the Aventine Hill. Beyond the outer enclosure, there were gardens surrounding the main building. Here one could walk, either in the open or in the shelter of the long porticos leading to the two libraries, one with Latin and the other with Greek texts, or to the heated meeting rooms. The baths hosted between 6,000 and 8,000 visitors a day, from the 8th hour to sunset, entering through four main entrances leading directly to the two dressing rooms. From here, one could then go to the palestra to exercise, lounge in the outdoor swimming pool, especially in the hot months, or go to the massage or epilation parlours on the upper floors. Others might choose to make their way to the baths proper, which featured a dry sauna and steam room, and a succession of pools with water at different temperatures, hot in the calidarium, tepid in the tepidarium, and cold in the frigidarium. There was also a large indoor swimming pool called a natatio. The subterranean part of the baths, only partially open to visitors, was the beating heart of the complex, similar to a hive, buzzing with noise and the activity of hundreds of slaves and specialized workers who kept this vast and ingenious machine ticking. The subterranean section of the baths was a warren of tunnels, running for about 2 kilometers, tall and wide enough, about 6 meters tall and 6 meters wide, to accommodate horse-drawn carts transporting supplies, besides chambers housing wood, a water mill, the heating and water systems with furnaces and boilers, as well as a network of ducts housing the lead water pipes. The larger tunnels were lit by skylight-type windows that allowed the air to circulate, thus keeping the stored wood from rotting. In the early 3rd century, a mitraeum was created in a section of the tunnels near the northwestern exedra. The largest documented gathering space hitherto found in Rome for the worshippers of Mitra, a deity from the east. The entrance to the mitraeum was located outside the enclosure. In the main room, a black and white floor mosaic and a fresco portraying Mitra, recently restored, remain.